A few days before Thanksgiving, while my husband Paolo was in the ICU, one of the nurses asked me, "Are you spending this holiday with your family?" I was completely caught off guard by such a question. I thought about it for a moment and replied, "I'll spend the holiday here if he's not home by that time." That wasn't a very good answer, and she didn't accept it very well. Like you, I've been asked that question so many times and have never given it much thought. My immediate family, my son and his wife, my grandson and his wife, and all my siblings live far away from me. Since that question is bound to reappear with Christmas knocking on my wallet, I've taken time to seek a clearer definition of that word, family. I don't believe in accidental or coincidental things. So it caught me completely by surprise when I logged onto YouTube. Do you all go to YouTube sometimes? There is so much good stuff there. You need to check it out. Anyway, that's a free commercial. Lo and behold, one of the music pieces that appeared on my screen was a relatively new song by an old timer. I say old timer, but he's my age. And so is Bette Midler. And so is Cher, by the way. Elton John, do you know that name? And a young woman I had never heard of, Rina Sawayama. The title was Chosen Family. I had hoped that we'd be able to play it here, but you know, technical licensing and all of that stuff with technology wouldn't let us do that. But when you go home, or if you are at home, do go to YouTube and in the search mode, look for Chosen Family. Now you'll see many variations of that from Elton John singing it himself to a children's choir singing it on top of a mountain. But since we can't do that and we're not searching and we're not listening, I wanted to share some of the words to this song. It goes like this. Starts with the question, where do I belong? Tell me your story, and I'll tell you mine. I'm all ears. Take your time. We've got all night. Show me the rivers crossed, the mountains scaled. Show me who made you walk all the way here. Settle down. Put your bags down. You're all right now. We don't need to be related to relate. We don't need to share genes or a surname. You are my chosen family. So what if we don't look the same? We've been going through the same thing. You are my chosen family. Hand me a pen and I'll rewrite the pain. When you're ready, we'll turn the page together. It's time to celebrate who you are, who you were. We're one and the same. I chose you, you chose me. I chose my chosen family. Trust me, you'll like hearing it sung by real singers much more than me just reading the lyrics. But listen to it and see if it doesn't speak to you with the message. To add to the complexity of things, a friend on Facebook posted this the next day after I had heard that song. One of the biggest lies ever told is blood makes my family. No, that's not true. Blood makes you related. Loyalty, love, and trust makes you family. Think about that for a minute. Then maybe you can answer this question. What does make a family? So I'd like to just share my own thoughts about that for just a few minutes here. Each of us has a biological family, even those who might have been adopted. And ideally, we would like to have the perfect family. I had always hoped that Robert Young and Father Knows Best would be my family. Or maybe Leave It to Beaver. Or Donna Reed. Am I aging myself? This is black and white TV. You do know that those two television shows were, don't you? Do you remember any of that? Okay. Well, let me try to bring some light to some family for the 2020s. That might be awe-inspiring. No, I can't think of any. The point is simply that each of us would love to have a family that is almost perfect. I wanted that as a kid growing up in a family that had more problems than Taylor Swift has had record hits. Do you know how much she gets every Christmas for her song? $12.5 million just for us to sing her Christmas song. And I learned sign language instead of music. But anyway, as one of five siblings, all of us just 1 year apart, there was constant competition to be the favorite or the best. I'm the middle child, and I was the best. But having an alcoholic father and a very religious mother, the concept of family was difficult. It was a difficult thing for me to come to terms with. I'm not at all naive to think that my biological family issues were unique only to my home. I know that wasn't true. Every family I know has had some kind of difficulties that they must deal with many times, sometimes too often. My biological family are all religious fundamentalists and ultra-conservative politically. To them, I'm on the wrong side of life. They tell me over and over that they pray for me every day. My youngest sister once, when we were sitting at a Thanksgiving table, burst into tears and clutched my arm and said, "It breaks my heart that we're going to all be in heaven and you won't be there." I said, "I'm going to be on the backside." You know, that's probably why they all live in Alabama, and I choose to be 2,500 miles away from them. That was a smart move on my part. But having struggled with that personal reality, it's been important for me to build a network of others who either love or support me for who I am. In so doing, I've built my own chosen family. Many of these amazing individuals have come into my life due to my calling as a minister. Some from my work in different professions in addition to the church, and some totally by surprise and with no previous connection. I have a chosen family, and I imagine you might as well. So what actually is a chosen family, and how did they enhance our lives? People will come into and out of your life at quite a rapid pace. Your biological family will remain the same until all of them dies, and then the numbers decline. For me, the numbers speak. Four siblings, one son, one daughter-in-law, one grandson, his wife, 10 nephews, one niece, many in-laws, 9 great-nieces and nephews, and one 95-year-old aunt. Oh, and 5 remaining first cousins. Try sending Hallmark cards to those. But those are family numbers. I would have chosen to be an only child in the Rockefeller family if they had given me the choice, but they didn't give me that choice. Chosen family numbers vary. If you do or did work, you would have made friends, hopefully, with some of your coworkers. Those you liked a good bit became more than just another employee. They could be an element of your chosen family. Perhaps they were or are dinner companions or any other activity in which you engage with them. Even when you might have changed jobs, you still wanted to be in touch with those who meant the most to you. Coworkers might have been a part of your chosen family. Each of us has neighbors. Some of them we might actually like. And when there is that bond of common affection or admiration, a relationship is established that draws those people into your life as chosen family. Now consider this. Suppose you select a church and decide to make a connection there simply because you want to find a place where you belong. And lo and behold, there are actually some really nice people there. The more often you attend and participate in the activities of the church, the closer you are drawn to some of its members. The longer you invest in that faith community, the stronger your chosen family becomes. That might even be true for some of you here at SOOF. Every part of your life, whether vocational, spiritual, political, or social, will house individuals with whom you can and do get to know and love. When that happens, you're building this thing called chosen family. Unlike our biological families, they are with us through thick and thin, in good times and bad. Those you have chosen might not always be permanently a part of your life. That's not to say that they have abandoned you. It is simply true that our lives change and we move. So do those who are part of our network of care and support and endearment. When I served as the chaplain for Planned Parenthood, probably the greatest joy for me in that position was the network of faith communities and leaders that I was able to build. When I started in 2004, I had three chosen family friends that I knew were progressive. After 17 years when I left, that network had been built to over 800 clergy and churches. And that was part of my chosen family for many years. Yet when I retired and left that position, the majority of those chosen family members were no longer a part of my chosen family from my job. Because we move and they move. Well, I've kept up with some of them and we touch base from time to time, but I realized quickly that my professional chosen family had changed. And that's not a bad thing. The same was true for those in my work group. We had been extremely close for years, but when I left, they moved on down a different path because they had work to do, and so did I. All of this is simply to say, treasure your chosen family while you are together. We can be enormously blessed by having loved ones who are with us our entire life. And that branch of your chosen family will never go away. 60 years ago, as a college freshman, I met my roommate from Tennessee. To this day, he is still a part of my chosen family. And there are many more. So let me ask you this question. Who is a part of your chosen family? Now, if you look around here this morning, you'll see the face in this room and on that screen of someone that you've chosen or might have chosen, or someone who has chosen you to be a part of your chosen family. Let me close with some of the words to the song I mentioned in the beginning. I'll repeat them. We don't need to be related to relate. We don't need to share genes or a surname. You are my chosen family. So what if we don't look the same? We've been going through the same thing. You're my chosen family. I choose you, and you chose me. So I encourage you to treasure your chosen family. They're truly an irreplaceable gift. I hope you'll never forget that. And I close by saying, one of my chosen friends and family stole my red sweater this morning. But I like her anyway.